It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. This is a show where you get to have lunch with the biggest leaders. Literally, some of the biggest leaders I have on my show on a regular basis. People like Grant Cardone, Steve Forbes, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jason Statham. Who else? Tom Hopkins? Joe Vitale? Dr. Steve G. Jones? The biggest leaders from around the world come and hang out with you and me so we can have a better life, a better business, a better career, more money, more abundance, more health. I mean, this is what Money for Lunch is all about. And I'm grateful for you guys. I truly am. I appreciate the fact that you guys come here and support us day in and day out. It's a big, it's inspiring. It's a big deal to me. I get flabbergasted all the time. And I love the fact that people connect with me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on LinkedIn. I just appreciate that so much. I appreciate the show topic suggestions. I appreciate the guest suggestions. And you guys have made this show fun and helpful and easy. And man, it is absolutely critical what you guys help, how you guys help with this show. So one of the things that you guys made happen is we were the very first independent show like this to be syndicated on iHeartMedia. Usually, most of the shows on iHeartMedia are the big boys, right? They're the CBS, the NBCs, the ABCs. They're the different affiliate stations around the coast or around the country. They are supported by big-time sponsors, and we were the very first show like this to be syndicated on iHeartMedia. Man, what a big deal. And that was because of your support, of your help. Anyways, like I said, it is so critically important and I appreciate it so very much. You know, the other thing I want to talk about today, real quick, is how you can invoke the law of attraction. This is what I mean. A lot of people are confused. How does the law of attraction work? Does it even work? You know, is it a bunch of woo-hoo, whatever, you know? So how does it work? How can I make sure I'm on track? Well, I'm going to tell you how. It's real simple. The first most important part of making the law of attraction work is you have to be clear, crystal clear as to what you want. I mean, it's absolutely necessary to be crystal clear as to what you want. An example, I want more money isn't clear. I want to be healthier is not clear. Right? It's vague. I mean, we all want to be healthier. We all want more money. We all want more romance in our lives. But can you clarify that for yourself? And the minute you can clarify that for yourself, bam, the law of attraction starts to work. Right? So you want more health, more wealth, more opportunities. You want to heal the body naturally. You want some ways to improve your health, then by clearly defining what that means, you make it happen. So step one, what is it? You have to be absolutely clear. Second step is you got to take action, right? So if you wanted to be healthier, you may have to do some activities. You may have to avoid certain substance in certain foods. You may have to get around certain people. So what actions do you need to take, right? So you don't know until you're crystal clear as to what you want. Once you've identified what you really want, the actions will probably come very obvious to you. Then you have to have some real compelling reasons. The whys actually come before the how. So maybe getting crystal clear is first. The whys come second. The third is how you're going to get there. And then the fourth thing, not to be overlooked, you're going to have obstacles and you're going to have naysayers and haters and criticizers and people who are going to rob you of your energy. So you have to be able to ignore the haters and the criticizers. You have to know why you're doing this. So the bigger the why, the bigger your drive. You have to be willing to take action. And again, don't forget, you have to be crystal clear. Clarity is power. The clearer you are, the easier things come into play. And the clearer you become and the stronger your whys, right, your reasons for having this goal, then you will find a lot of obstacles will melt away. People and opportunities will come into your life. And when haters pop up, as they will, as they should, because that's just part of any good journey, you'll be able to ignore them. You'll be able to deal with them from a place of strength. All right. That's my little nugget of information. Let's get this party started with my first guest, Stacy Chalamet. Oh, I just killed her name. So she'll correct me when she comes on. But Stacy Chalamet is a popular and recognizable health and lifestyle reporter and expert columnist and health host, author of The Complete Guide to Natural Healing, a natural approach to healing the body and maintaining optimal health using herbal supplements, vitamins, minerals, fruits, vegetables, and alternative medicine and natural remedies for common conditions, how to prevent, heal, and maintain optimum health using alternative medicines, herbals, vitamins, and foods, and food, along with 20 other published books. Stacy Chalamet, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Yes, kind of like chill, like you're cold, and then Emmy.
Chilling me. All right. Chilling me softly with Stacy. There we go. All right. All right. So let's talk. So why don't you give us some background information? Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into becoming this recognizable health and lifestyle expert? Is this something that you started from, day one out of high school or college, or how did this come about?
Well, at the age of 5, I had developed epilepsy, and I had struggled all my life with that disorder. When I got into college, things started getting tough. My seizures started getting worse, and I was, determined to actually finish school and get on and become a success of whatever I did in life. And I was having a hard time, so what I did was I wrote an article, and I sent it into the Epilepsy Foundation. They have a magazine called Epilepsy USA, and I asked people, how do they deal with this disorder? How do they get through life? What are their coping skills and what are their tools and techniques? And surprisingly, I received letters from all over the United States and Canada. I received hundreds of letters, and I was stunned with all the different emotional and inspirational letters that I received. It actually helped me a lot, and I actually applied a lot of those things to my own life. And I actually realized at that moment how powerful the words of wisdom are, how powerful just a bunch of sentences can be and how they can impact a person's life. And from there, I kind of took a turn going more towards journalism. And I had started writing a book called Epilepsy, You're Not Alone. And when I got out of college, I started working with some big corporations, and I had some problems with my seizures, and I couldn't work in that field anymore. So what happened was is I started working with an herbalist, and I started learning different ways to heal the body naturally, and I started writing for him. And I actually started doing my own research, and I applied a lot of those things to my life. And surprisingly, my seizures went from 9 seizures a month to 6 to 5 to 4 to none. And I started really taking a serious look on natural remedies and how natural healing could actually, how different natural remedies could actually impact a person's life, their health, their emotional being, and their all-around well-being. And I started doing research for about 2-3 years, and then I ended up finishing the first book I wrote called Epilepsy, You're Not Alone. It was a self-help book on how to help people get on with their lives that had epilepsy or any type of condition, and I wrote that book. It was a 600-page book called The Complete Herbal Guide, and it was a book about all different types of herbal supplements, different foods, different ways to naturally heal your body and to heal common conditions that affect the body without having to resort to over-the-counter drugs or any type of medications that could actually have long-term effects on the body that could be detrimental.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. You know what? And what's interesting about that is that it goes to show you that sometimes, whether we like it or not, we are given these challenges for a specific reason. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who suffer from epilepsy who have never done anything to find out alternative ways to manage it or deal with it, right? To control
Correct.
It. And so for whatever reason, you could have been one of those people who never did anything with it. You could have just said, oh, this is just a condition I have, and therefore, you know, that's what I have to deal with. But you said, no, I'm going to dig deep. And maybe it was because you had that journalistic background or whatever, but you started looking for ways to cope, or to really not cope, but to, you know, use the word cure or to overcome this ailment. And, you know, you started looking at these natural remedies. So hats off to you for taking that problem and making it, you know, a profit and or a purpose for you. So that's great. So now, so you write this book. It's 600 plus pages. That's incredible. Anybody who's ever written an article knows, you know, just a 2 or 3 page article can be overwhelming. 600 pages. How long did that take?
It took over 2 years to write that. And, you know, while I was doing that, I actually created a blog. I started out on Blogger. I had like maybe 400 people reading my blog, and then it went from 400 to 10,000 to 300,000 people. You know, and then I opened up my own website, which I have today. It's called The Complete Herbal Guide. And, you know, I was teaching people different ways to make yourself feel better and different ways to heal conditions. And if you don't have a condition, I was teaching people, you know, to how to live a more productive, more happy, more healthy life, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And it took off. People really were interested. There were a lot of people out there that wanted to improve the way they were living. They wanted to feel better, look better. They just wanted to have a different perspective on life, and they wanted to change, but they just didn't know the direction. So as I was writing the book and I was creating the website, you know, things started to like really take off. And you know, the book was a great attribute to the website, because it gave people you know, physical content that they can go into, and they can look up things, and they can actually educate themselves in areas that they didn't know a lot about.
Man, that's amazing. All right. So was that your first business, the converting this blog? And I mean, to go from 400 to 10,000 to 300 subscribers or followers, that's incredible. That's a lot of power. So was that your first business?
My first business, I actually was a freelance writer. After I stopped working in the city, I created my own business at home, and I became a freelance writer. I was doing a lot of work with corporations through my home, and I was working, just doing different projects. And that's when I kind of, you know, stumbled upon, you know, doing the research for The Herbalist. And that's when I really realized what my true passion was. I really had an interest, especially now that I saw how it impacted my own life. I knew that information like this could impact so many people and it could help so many people. And I, you know, I had just a passion to want to help others, to give people a momentum, to want to really improve their lives. I even had someone write to me and they said that their life was, their health kind of took everything from them, and they were on the verge of suicide, and they had read my book, and it gave them inspiration on how to live a different life, and they applied a lot of the things in my book to their own life, and they saw a traumatic change in their life, and they were feeling better, they were thinking on a more clear note, and she thanked me, and she said, you know, you saved my life. And at that moment, I can't even tell you the emotion it brought to me, and I really realized at that moment, this was my true calling in life. My true calling is to help others, to give others the information that I have, the information that I know, to help others through my writing and through just speaking with them and teaching people different ways to improve their own lives.
Yeah, that's incredible. Okay, so this book, you sold it for how much?
The book sold for $23.95, I believe it was, on
Amazon.
Okay,
$24, $25.
Okay. Yeah, about that.
And so here it is. Somebody bought your book, so you made whatever, $24.25, you know, minus whatever cost, commissions, et cetera, et cetera. But to be able to get a letter like that, to know that you had this massive impact on somebody's life, you know, that's priceless, isn't it?
Oh, it's definitely priceless. The accomplishment that you feel, I think in anything that you do in life, doesn't matter, you know, if you work for sanitation or if you're the president of the United States, when you know that you've impacted somebody's life and you made someone, you know, feel better about themselves, or and you gave someone some type of momentum and something to look forward to in life, you know, I think the feeling of accomplishment is the greatest thing that anyone could ever achieve, is knowing that you've been able to help another person. For me, I think that's priceless. To be able to help others is just anyone could be greedy and take, but when you can take time to give to others and you see the positive change it's making in other people's lives, to me that's a 100% true satisfaction, and it makes the cause worthwhile.
Yeah, no, that is just, it just blows you away. So again, because we know how humans are, if one human reached out to you and said, thank you, Stacy, you've had this wonderful impact on my life, you changed my life, I have new hope, that there's probably, you know, several thousand that felt the same way but didn't express it.
Yes, true. You know, people, you know, every once in a while you get letters from people, and people, you know, show appreciation through their letters, and, you know, and thank you. And there's also probably a lot of other people out there that, you know, don't know how to express their thank yous, or just, you know, are embarrassed sometimes. You know, people, when you have things wrong
right.
with yourself, you don't like to, like, you know, even though someone else wrote the book and they've gone through what you've gone through, you sometimes, you know, you don't like to, you know, actually acknowledge it yourselves. But people do, you know, I think everyone, when you anytime you read something and it has some type of quality content, or it definitely, you know, it impacts your life and it makes you feel better in some way or some form, you know, you always have that appreciation, whether you verbally express it or you just think it to yourself. And, you know, as long as you know that you're doing something good and you're putting out positive impact into the world by teaching others positive things that can improve themselves, you know you're doing something good. So that there itself, you know, is just enough of energy, positive energy, to make anything worthwhile.
Absolutely. So I want to back up a little bit, and I want to kind of reiterate a little bit of what you talked about. So here you are, you're blogging, and so you have about 400 or 500 subscribers, then it jumps to around 10,000 subscribers, then it jumps, you know, so how long, first of all, did it take you to accumulate 400 or 500 subscribers or followers, whatever we want to call them?
Well, the 400 followers started right away. My website got a lot of hits immediately. As soon as I started posting and I started sending them out to the social networks, the articles, I started getting a real positive response. And then once I started, consistently putting out fresh content and, about a lot of topics that were, prevalent in our society, that were trending in our society, I got a lot of responses. People were, responding back to the website. They were coming back for more content. And then it got to the point where I was having so much traffic that I needed to open up a website because it was just it was too much content and too many people coming on, and I had to kind of take a step up.
Yes. Okay, looking back. Wait. So let me continue on this road. Okay, so the 400 or 500 subscribers happened pretty quickly. Now, to go from 400 subscribers to 300,000 subscribers, followers, whatever we want to call them, what kind of time frame was that?
Probably within a two-year span. Everything took place in a two-year span.
Wonderful.
I put a lot of hours into it. You have to have a lot of dedication. Sometimes people get frustrated because they feel that, they want to see a 1-2-3 result. But with anything, any type of success in life, you need to put a lot of time and effort into it. You have to make sure everything is 100%, the best quality that you could actually, feel that you could put out. And you really have to, dedicate yourself and, really, put as much time and effort and energy into anything. And the more you put in, the more you'll get out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in the same time, I know for some people, 2 years sounds like a lot of time, but for us grown-ups, that's actually pretty quick.
It's pretty right? quick. And,
I mean,
it seems like a long time, but it actually is, it takes people sometimes a decade to get to that point. 2 years is actually a really quick time frame. So it was, it sounds like a lot, but it really isn't a lot. A year goes by so quickly. Within a snap, you go from January to December, and, within those 2 years, a lot of stuff happened in that small time frame.
Yes. So let's talk about this. Because I want to, this is such a great experiment to talk about. So I'm going to focus on a little bit on this. Whether you're doing YouTube videos, whether you're doing writing, if that's your thing, you have to do it consistently, just like Stacy says. It's not going to happen overnight, but 2 years is fairly quick. Let me tell you, to have that kind of power is unbelievable. Second of all, your content was very niche. Did it deal with epilepsy or did it deal with herbal alternatives? Tell me a little bit about your content.
My website consists of everything. I go from high blood pressure, high cholesterol, exercise, fitness, healthy living, healthy recipes. I touch base on everything. What my goal is teach others how to live a healthy life. I want to try to, go into, be able to have some type of connection with every individual that comes onto that website. So whether you're going on there just to look for natural remedies or to look for cleaning agents that are healthier to use in the home, or you're looking for tonight's meal and you're trying to find something healthy to make for the kids, I want to be able to have everything on there. If you're bodybuilding and you're looking for different types of vitamins or supplements that you think, that you're looking to see what will be helpful, you can go on there. If you're looking for different yoga poses to help with relaxation, it's on there. So it's like I try to cover everything, going from home remedies, to going from herbal remedies, vitamins, exercise, for everything. I have different conditions on there. We talk about cancer. We talk about, high cholesterol, Crohn's. We touch base on all areas.
Incredible. Okay, so you basically have this healthy alternative website. So if you want to find out about blood pressure or as you said, you're a bodybuilder, maybe you want to boost some testosterone or you want to look at some other ways of getting your vitamins and minerals or whatever, you go there, Crohn's disease. And it's an aggregate of healthy alternatives to these dangerous prescription medicines.
Correct.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say nowadays there's so many things out there, but, you know, we're finding more and more how a lot of things in even our food stores are very bad for the body and in the long term can hurt you. And a lot of the prescription medications, you know, they help one symptom, but then they cause other symptoms. And then you go back to the doctor and you say, hey, you know, you helped me with this, but now I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. So the doctor gives you another prescription for X, Y, and Z. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to feel sluggish and fatigue, and you don't understand why, and it's the medications that are doing all this to you. So if you can, you know, put those medications back on the shelf and find other, you know, alternative ways, you know, they say food is medicine. You know, with the right foods, the right supplements, the right vegetables, the right exercise, you know, trying to find the right, you know, regimen for each individual person, you know, people could learn that there's more things than just taking a pill, that, you know, that you can actually get your health back and feel the way you did maybe in your 30s and 40s or even your 20s, you know, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting that you brought up food because, first of all, I can't remember, I think it was Socrates who said, let food be your medicine, something
yes.
along
mm-hmm.
those lines. Okay.
Yes,
and so we're in this situation, as you said, where our food is, I'm just going to use the word contaminated. Sometimes
yeah.
it's on purpose, people doing corporations doing bad things, and sometimes it's corporational greed that's causing these bad things. I'll use the, you know, gluten, all these allergies that we have to gluten that didn't exist before they changed the DNA to wheat, or it certainly didn't exist very often. And so
right.
now everybody's got this gluten sensitivity. Why? Because the corporations came in and they messed with the DNA of wheat. And now everybody
right.
has an issue with it. And so GMO foods have been around for a long time. I mean, seedless watermelons and seedless grapes, that's
mm-hmm.
a GMO food product that, you know, that we've been fed for years. And
right.
for the most part, we love it because who wants seeds? But when you start thinking about it, there are so many other foods that have been altered for our convenience. And as humans, we have to just suck it up a little bit and say, okay, look, I got to pick seeds out if I really want the natural organic things. So we have this corrupted food. And then
mm-hmm.
on top of that, we have this food that has been, you know, what do you call it? Again, altered or changed by pesticides.
Right.
You know, and then we ingest these chemicals, which cause other problems. So our food isn't as good as it used to be. That's the reality. I mean, you know, today's milk is not the same milk that I grew up with. And,
no.
you know, I'm going to freak some people out. But let me tell you, I haven't touched milk in many, many years. I think going on 20 years. Ever since I had a good friend of mine who was a dairy farmer, and he took me to his dairy farm. Ever since then, I never touched milk again.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, I had to review a book, and it was Vegans versus Vegetarians. And what this author did was she took you into the world behind closed doors of you know, what they actually do to these animals, like the cows. And, you know, after reading her book and seeing what they did to these poor cows and what our milk is really made of, I didn't touch milk myself. I was, you know, I use vitamin D, and I drink soy milk or almond milk, you know, but I haven't touched milk since. And, you know, and it's a shame because, you know, this is not the you know, back in the 50s and 60s, it's not the same milk that the milk man brought to the house. It's, you know, this milk is not good for you anymore, unfortunately, because of everything they do to it.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. It is amazing. And, you know, the other thing that we're suffering with, and this is so funny because you brought this up, where we take this medication and it helps this one symptom. It's not the cure, but it helps the one symptom. But then it causes other symptoms. And the latest commercials that I've seen on TV have been about this opioid-induced diarrhea. So OID
mm-hmm.
is what they're calling it. And, you know,
right.
and the commercials are kind of whimsical, and they kind of are very lighthearted. Hey, you know, and it's got this handsome man on the TV talking about him being a little, you know, plugged up. And they kind of very – almost jokingly talk about this symptom instead of, you know, the real the real cause is the fact that these drugs that that are being prescribed very easily do have these tremendous side effects, and people just do not understand that some of these side effects are very, very detrimental and sometimes cause death. And I don't know, Stacey, if you know the answer to this, but I know that every year prescription medicine caused a certain amount of deaths. I know it's in the thousands of deaths, but you know what? I don't know anybody who's ever overdosed on vitamin C or vitamin D or anything like that. I don't know anybody who's been harmed by, you know, herbal medicine. Do you have any stats on that?
I don't have the actual stats, but what you're saying is very true. You know, every year people either die from certain medications or they have such terrible adverse effects that it gives them different conditions that affect them the rest of their lives. I knew one person who had taken Cipro, which is an antibiotic, and they had a terrible reaction to it, and it caused them to change their DNA. So now they experience problems in their hands and their feet, and they have nerve damage, and they're experiencing all these different symptoms that they never had before due to the antibiotic Cipro. And if you go on the website, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of people that had adverse effects to Cipro. Now, Cipro is a common antibiotic that's given by so many physicians because, you know, it works. But if you look on the stats and you look how many people have had adverse effects or have been actually hurt by this drug, you'll be so stunned and you'll say, why are they even letting this drug on the market? And it's like that with a lot of medications. And then, you know, even with the foods that we were discussing previously, they put hormones in the eggs and the milks, and now you have little girls that haven't even hit teenage years and they're going through puberty. Their bodies are changing because of all these different hormones. If you put hormones in the food and then you're taking in these hormones, your body's saying, what are these things? And then they don't know what to do with it, so they store it in the body. And the same thing with the unhealthy ingredients and all the preservatives. They put it stays in your body because your body doesn't know how to break it down. It can't. And then it builds up, and then it affects your organs and different parts of your body. And that's when all these different, you know, conditions start coming. You know, and the root of the cause is our foods and are these medications. And, you know, it's always when people come down with a condition, it's always what is the root of the cause? Instead of giving them a prescription right away, what is the true root of the cause that's causing all these conditions and all these problems? You know, is it a leaky gut syndrome? You know, the good bacteria versus the bad bacteria laying in your stomach? You know, is it the foods that you're eating? A lot of people have food allergies and don't even know they have food allergies. You know, sometimes when you're eating something, you feel really sluggish and all of a sudden you want to go to sleep. You know, a lot of times it's because your body can't break the food down. And it's, you know, saying, you know, it's trying to tell you, I'm having a hard time. I'm really tired, you know. I can't break this food down. This isn't good for me, you know. But people don't realize these things. You have to, you know, there are so many signs our bodies gives us, and we have to just take time to understand our body and really realize, you know, what is good for us and what is actually harming us.
Yes, yes. All right, so let's talk. Let's go back to your business here. Here you are again. You have hundreds of thousands of subscribers and followers. What would you have done differently? Knowing what you know now, what do you wish you would have known then or you would have done differently? Or maybe you wouldn't have changed anything at all. Talk about that.
You know, when I look back, you always, when you look back, you learn things as you go. You know, you learn how to market your product. You learn how to teach things in a better way that, you know, people will understand. You know, sometimes what we think looks great, you know, the majority of society might look at it and say, what are they talking about? I don't get it, you know. Sometimes we have to understand our audience, you know, and when you get into any type of business, whether it be food, health, you know, finance, you have to understand your target audience, who you're talking to, what is the purpose, what, you know, my purpose is to help others. My purpose, you know, I think I would have, you know, if I did it differently, I would have probably been able to, you know, market my targeted audience better. Really understand who the people are that I'm trying to help, and different ways to reach them. Nowadays, we reach out to the social networks, but we also, if we have a website, you need to kind of learn the back end of it too. And understand the best ways to get this content out to a larger audience, because for me, my goal is to help people, but you want to make sure people actually see the information that you're sending, and you need to find ways to kind of reach broader audiences. And I think I probably would have educated myself more on the technical side, when I was going into this. I was more on the journalistic area and the research and understanding how to write and help others through self-help and self-improvement. But you could write as great content as possible, but you have to reach those audiences. So I sometimes, either by hiring a technical audience company or by learning yourself, which is possible, because a lot of people are on budgeted they have a lot of strict budgets. If you're not a big corporation,
limited funds, sure.
Yeah, a small business, you might want to take the time to, learn a little about, how to reach that audience, and set 10 goals for yourself, short-term and long-term. Where do you see yourself in the next year? Where do you want to be? What are your expectations? What's your prime reason for doing this? And, make sure you have a clear aspect of who you want to be, why you want to be this person, and what your goals are, and what are you going to get out of this? Do you want to help people? Great. So how are you going to do that? And then you have to try to make a strategic plan on how to reach that broad audience, how to help those people, the best tactics, the best ways, the best tools and techniques to get where you want to go.
Absolutely. No, I like that so very much. Okay. So let's talk about this. You mentioned that in the beginning there, here you are, you're posting this content, and then you were sharing it on social media. Is that what you said? Talk about how you use social media to build your audience.
That was my main thing. In the beginning, I drew everybody from the social media. What I did was I took my website, even my blog, and I interlinked it to all the different social medias. So anytime I shared a post or I shared any type of content, it went out to every single social media automatically. And there are ways that you could do this. You can connect your website with all the different social media. So anytime I posted something, or anytime there was a change, everyone in the social media knew about it, and it would constantly post stuff. And then even when I was sleeping at night, I had it scheduled, so fresh content would constantly go out, so people would constantly see new things. And even old content that did really well, I refreshed that content. If you have a piece of content that's old but it has a lot of valuable information, you might want to tweak it up and resend it out, because you have only a certain percentage that are returning visitors, and the rest of them are new visitors. So you want to try to use all your good content, all your useful resources, and bring them about, so everyone sees them. If they didn't see it 4 months ago, maybe they'll see it this time. So you refresh it and you send it out as well. But the social network is a very powerful tool, and it doesn't cost you any money. If you know how to do it properly, you can build your followers, you can build your and draw people from all those different social networks to your website.
Yes, absolutely. And today, more than ever, social media has gotten so much better with the analytics side of it. So when you post something, you can promote that post. You can also, depending on, I think, whether you have a business profile or just a personal profile, but I think you can get a business profile. It doesn't take any money or anything, but it gives you analytics on the background, and you can see who's responding to your content, which is totally useful. And it just gives you so many different ways of tracking that. Now, just out of curiosity, when it comes to social media, do you have a favorite? Are you big on Facebook, or do you key in on, let's say, Facebook, Twitter, which one? So talk a little bit about which social medias are your favorite ones, or do you try to use all of them?
I try to use all of them. I find a lot of Twitterers kind of follow me. They enjoy my content. I get a lot of a lot of people from Twitter. Facebook is really good, but I have to really also point out that every social media has a different audience. If you're big on recipes, you might want to, you know, and you put a really good recipe out, you might want to send that to Pinterest or Facebook. You have to do your research and figure out, you know, depending on the content that you're promoting, every piece of content goes out to each social network has a kind of like a more trending following, you know, where you have more, if you have a story that's an emotional story, you might want to Facebook that. It's for, Facebook tends to bring in a lot of interested people when it comes to emotional stories or when it comes to recipes or you know, how to and to learn how, you know, if you have something you'd like to share on video, you know, and you can teach someone something and it's, you know, short and sweet, you might want to put it on YouTube. You know, it depends really, you know, it's always good, you know, to put it on. I like to put everything on everything and you see what my responses are. And that's how I learn. I see what the response rate is once I send things out. And then you kind of learn which sites are responding to which types of posts. And then you kind of have to, you know, create your own little schedule of what's going to go out where and what times are the best times. Because you'll see on your analytics that each social network has a specific time that you're going to see probably a boost where you have the most followers come from that website and that acknowledge your posts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so here you are. You're blogging and posting about these alternative medicines. I shouldn't say all medicines, right? Or they are medicines. Alternative remedies to some of the, you know, life's biggest challenges, such as heart disease, high blood pressure, epilepsy, Crohn's disease, things of that nature. And so essentially you built your entire business from just social media and posting good content. Would that be true?
Yeah.
We just lost Stacy Chillamy. And I'm typing here, I built a lifestyle business. So hopefully we're going to get Stacy Chillamy back here in a few minutes. But I hope that you guys are enjoying this so far. Just to give you a recap, here she is. She herself is suffering from epilepsy. And she can't even hold a regular job down because it's causing so much problems, right? So she starts off on her journey to build this this business. And, you know, in a period of 2 years, she has 300 plus followers and is essentially building a lifestyle business that she can operate from her home or from any place. Stacy Chillamy, are you back?
I'm back. I'm so sorry about that. Somehow there was a disconnection.
That's right. No problem. It's not the first time. It won't be the last. All right. So when you're building this out and you see that you have 400 followers and then 10,000 followers, at what point did it click, hey, I'm going to build a business out of this?
You know, it was like I hit levels. You know, once I got I received that large audience, I knew that, okay, once I had a strong following, people were coming to the website consistently, requesting content, asking questions, I knew that I could take this to the next level. It's something that you, when you're just going along, you know that it's right. When you have a consistent audience coming back, when you have people interacting with you, sending you emails, asking questions, you know the interest is there, you know the readership is there, and now you have to say, okay, now how do I monetize this? So then I took it to the next level, and I kind of focused not just on the readers, but I started focusing on small and medium-sized businesses. And I started looking towards the PR people, and I started going after people who were authors, people who had products that they were looking for, some type of advertisement, or they needed, you know, they wanted to share content, or they wanted to share press releases, or, you know, some type of advertising service. And so I opened up where I had people, I sent out letters and I showed them, you know, the website and how strong the website was. And, you know, so, and I kind of put my name out there and I started getting a lot of positive responses, and PR people started contacting me, and companies started contacting me, asking if they can put their material on the website and if they could advertise on the website. So that's how I kind of brought it to level two, just from level one, and that's how we began.
That is so cool. I love that. I love that. Okay, so something that we haven't talked about, and I do want to talk about this because I think this is kind of a very cool thing when Dr. Oz has you on his show.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about how that happened. Was that one of those people that you contacted and they came across your website? Talk about how that happened.
Well, I had sent letters out to all the local TV shows, and I sent out letters to all the different newspapers and magazines, and I had received a call from the Dr. Oz show from one of their producers, and they asked me to be on their show, and they actually invited me. I was on their show about four or five times, and I went on and spoke about different topics and natural healing, And I actually met with Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post, and she had given me a column in her paper, and it was all through just putting my name out there and, you know, saying who I was and, you know, telling them about the website and, you know, and them just coming on the website, looking at it, and just being really impressed with what they saw. And, you know, and just recently we just got a couple of offers. They want. I'm going to be doing a product line for natural organic soaps and sanitizers and face serums and beauty products and stuff like that. But it all happens, you know, just by just reaching out, making contacts with people. People do search for people, but you also have to make an effort and put yourself out there too, because there's so many people in this industry that, you know, you could get lost if you don't try to put yourself out there and get noticed. You know, you have to, you know, kind of go the extra length to try to, you know, show people who you are. And, you know, and if they don't know who you are, they will when they receive your letter. And, you know, that's kind of how you have to, you just have to, you know, it's all about making contacts and putting yourself out there.
I like that. I like that. Now, did you create these letters and send them out yourself, or did you hire a PR team?
Well, since I did freelance work for over 20 years, I wrote my own letters. But for most people, you know, they can hire PR people, or they can hire freelance writers and stuff like that. You know, it depends what your budget is. You know, I've come across
right.
many people. They have great products, they have great businesses, great ideas, but they're on such a limited budget that they don't really have a lot of movement. You know, ways to go. So, you know, if that's the case, you know, they are. You know, you could start small and find an inexpensive freelance writer. You know, or you could do your homework and see. You know, there are things on the website that they could teach you how to write things, but that comes hard for a lot of people. So I would
right.
suggest, you know, if you can afford a PR agency, to definitely do a PR agency. But if you can't afford it and you're on a limited budget, you know, look into, you know, there are websites that they have really good writers, you know, that they're inexpensive, people who have side, you know, do it as a side job. And, you know, have them write a pitch letter and have them, you know, write, you know, maybe a profile of who you are and what you do and, you know, and then use that as your platform and start sending it out, you know, as a generic letter, but make it personalized to each individual person you send it to and, you know, see, you know, the response you get. And if you do get some responses, then, you know, you're on the right track.
Yep. I love it. And one of the things you've said a couple of times is you just got to be willing to put yourself out there. And that means you send out 100 letters and you get no response the first time. So you send out another 100 letters and maybe you get one response, and you send out another bunch of letters and you get one or two. But, you know, to me, the biggest lesson I'm learning here talking to you, Stacey, is you started with quality content and you're just plugging away. You're constantly uploading quality content. And in a matter of just 2 years, you have these, you know, 300,000 followers, and and it just keeps going from there.
Yeah, you know, you have to really be determined. You have to, you know, to me, there's no such thing as failure. Failure is when you say, when you say, I give up, you know. But if you keep trying,
right.
even if you don't get the response that you were hoping for, that's not failing, you know. That to me is, you know, taking it a step up, you know. You know, you have to have the courage to want to, you know, take a chance. And, you know, and sometimes you have to keep putting it out there a few times before, you know, and some people think one or two responses is terrible, but that's actually really good. You know, if you send out 100 letters and you get two or three responses, to me that's very good. Those are two or three contacts you didn't have before, and you never know
right.
what could come about those two or three contacts. So to me that's a plus.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about failure. I mean, we've been talking about your success and things are going great, and so let's talk about one of your biggest failures and what you learned from that.
My biggest failures, I guess, you know, in life you have your ups and downs, and you create things that you think are great, and then, you know, people will tell you otherwise, and you can't, you know, I've learned over the years, you have to be open-minded and you have to take constructive criticism. And I've actually, from my worst criticizers, I've actually learned the most from, you know. And when I was, you know, creating, you know, content and when I was creating certain projects and stuff like that, and I had, you know, people who were in the field and they're like, no, this is not going to work. And they tear it apart and they revise everything. And you're like, wait, where'd all that stuff go? You know, but then they show you why they did it, how they did it, and the reasons for it. And then you realize, you know, you learn from these people. You know, when people are a couple steps ahead of you, it's because they know what they're doing and they're doing something right. So instead of taking things, you know, taking things personally, you take things more openly, and you kind of take, you know, they're taking the time to show you why they don't like it. Listen to them. They're a couple of steps ahead of you. Obviously, they see things that aren't going to work. Learn from it. Don't take it personally, but take it in. Understand why they're saying the things they're saying, why they made the changes they're making, or why they're saying no. And use it as a builder. Okay, this doesn't look like it's going to work. You know, let me change some things and let's put it out, you know, after everything is changed around or fixed or done differently, you know. And most of the time it works out for the better. But you have to be open-minded and you have to be able to take constructive criticism. In this field and any field, you have to be able to be open-minded, because sometimes what we think is good is not always good, you know, in society as a whole.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. You just got to, you know, and I think sometimes, and I know this is going to probably freak some people out when I say this, but sometimes our pride is too big, right? We have to check our ego at the door. And when somebody says, Stacy, you know, or Bert, this isn't really that good, or you guys can do better, or something like that, don't take it personally. As you're saying, just look at where it's coming from. Now, if it's somebody that has never written a word, doesn't know
mm-hmm.
anything about anything, that person you can ignore.
Right.
But I like what you said. If you're talking to somebody that's a couple of steps ahead of you, listen with openness and, you know, check your ego at the door. And they might be telling you something that's going to propel your business to the next level and also avoid some costly mistakes.
Exactly, 100%. Yes, definitely.
All right,
I've
so let me ask
people,
you this. Go
sure.
ahead.
No, I said I've had people that, you know, have stopped me from doing things and have, you know, have given me their honest opinions. I didn't particularly like their honest opinions, but in the long run, it benefited me 100%.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this. What was the best piece of advice you ever received?
Best piece of advice. My best piece of advice is to be to always be optimistic. People, you know, they say that optimistic people bring a sense of hope into the world, and that by encouraging people, you're bringing a new meaning to life. And you know, and sometimes you know, you may see clouds on a gloomy day, but they bring sunlight every other day, and the sunlight will eventually break through those dark clouds. So, you know, there are going to be times when you have good days and times when you have bad days, and, you know, and then there's times where you get frustrated and like, why am I doing this, you know? You have to really be optimistic, and you have to realize that, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs, and you just have to take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, the best thing is to just be optimistic, and that with every problem there is a solution. And, you know, and don't tread the small things in life, you know, fix the big problems, focus on them, but, you know, don't get all stressed out about the little things in life. You know, life is too short, and you just have to, you know, you have to just take things day by day and not get overwhelmed. And when you have your, when you're starting your own business or you're in your own business, you know, things could get very stressful at times, you know, but you just have to take it one day at a time and just try to be optimistic.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. I think it's great advice. Where do you go to find inspiration?
I like to meditate. I use yoga and meditation as a way to get inspired. Sometimes by taking a step back from the big world and closing yourself off into a nice, small, relaxing, peaceful environment, you can sometimes think things more clearly, more relaxed, and then, you know, meditation kind of just relaxes the whole body, the mind, the body, the soul. And sometimes when you get to that certain point of being relaxed and calm and that sense of peace, you can come back into the world and actually, you know, tackle problems at a better pace, and you can actually make wiser decisions. Because sometimes when you're overwhelmed and frustrated, we sometimes don't make good decisions. But if we take our step back and we start to really, kind of relax, and also really realize and appreciate the little things in life too. You know, sometimes we have to learn to, appreciate life and appreciate the small things in life. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in business and forget the real reason we started all this in the first place. And, you know, I always say never forget where you came from is a key factor too.
Yep, I like that. I like that very much. We are almost out of time, but I wanted to pick your brain one more time and ask you any final message to somebody who's starting a business today, who's been in the startup mode for the last little bit. Any final message to startup businesses?
I think when you're starting a business, you have to make sure that you're passionate about it. You have to make sure this is something that you are going to love, that's something that you has meaning, you know, because when you do something, you have to really have a passion for it. You have to love what you do, or you're never going to put in that full 100%. And also, you need to, also have a lot of dedication, and it's going to take a lot of time and energy, and you have to be willing to commit. And if you're willing to commit and you're willing to put the time and the energy and you're willing to go the extra length, you know, in time, everything will fall in place. You know, if you really have a drive to succeed, you will succeed in life. There's no doubt about it. You know, you just have to be patient, and patience is the key.
I love it. Love it. Stacey, it's been so much fun having you on the show. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about success, about using herbal supplements. Stacey, if somebody wanted to find out more about you, where do they go? TheCompleteHerbalGuide.com?
Yes, it's TheCompleteHerbalGuide.com, and our website is there. All our information is there, and if they have any questions, they always can contact us, and we'll be more than happy to answer any of their questions.
And from the time that you published your first blog there, where you had those few hundred subscribers, until today, how much time have you been in business?
I've been doing this with the Complete Herbal Guide for over 6 years, close to 7 years now. You know, we started out really small with the blog. We did that about, you know, the blog started 2 years ago, but I've done years of research when I was in the process of writing the book, The Complete Herbal Guide, and then each year I did additional research, and I came out with a newer version with more herbals, more information to help others, and I've been helping others and been involved in different organizations and groups for many years. But I've been, you know, an advocate on helping others improve their lives for over 6 years now. I've been, you know, working, writing books and helping people, improve their life and the way they feel.
I love it. Stacy Tillamy, thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to have you back again.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
All righty. Good stuff there from best-selling author and lifestyle entrepreneur Stacy Tillamy. And you can find out more about Stacy. Check out her pictures with Dr. Oz at thecompleteherbalguide.com, thecompleteherbalguide.com. And what a great story. If she can do it, you can do it. As always, thank you so much for stopping by. Please remember to go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. Hit the red button. Go to youtube.com/Burt J. Martinez. I appreciate that very much. Remember, you will create.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.